Well, we made it. We have come to the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm a little loud, I know. We started this journey in December of 2024. Who was here in December of 2024? You started, that's good. I came halfway through about the summer. So give or take a few snow days and a short break this past Christmas, we have been studying Matthew for 70 weeks. That sounds kind of biblical. 70 is a nice round number, right? And I joined the journey at about Matthew chapter 14, about halfway through. And I hope you agree that this has been an incredibly enriching time in God's Word here for us at Village. And how do we summarize a whole year's worth of messages, a year and a quarter's worth of messages? What key theme are we going to take away from the Gospel of Matthew? What central point do we want to take with us now that we're done with this sermon series? Well, the Gospel writer, Matthew, has it all planned out. We end with, and we take with us, this message that the King Jesus, our King, the long-awaited Messiah, reigns. The theme of our series is here on this sermon graphic. It's every week. King Jesus reigns. He was prophesied as the coming Messiah in the Old Testament. He came and proclaimed the kingdom of God during his time on earth. And now he sends forth his disciples, including us, to do the same, to proclaim his kingdom. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the king. But what good is a king without a kingdom? What good is a Messiah without the messianic community in which he rules and reigns and is worshiped? And so King Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah who builds his messianic community. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," he's building a messianic community. That's us. Messianic means simply following the Messiah, Jesus. We're in a community of people. Just as Jesus was sent by the Father, he says this in John chapter 20, "As the Father sent me, so I send you on a mission to save the world." That was his mission. Jesus now makes and grows and sends his disciples on a mission to proclaim that message of salvation. The question before us then is, what is a disciple? A few weeks ago, I had a few of us, maybe not all of us here, but a good number of folks in the fellowship hall, gave out these little blue cards, and I said, please write down, you don't have to put your name on it, just what is the definition of a disciple? Great answers, a lot of great answers. This one came from, I think, Merritt. She's not here this morning. A follower of Jesus. I think she did that on her own, too. I don't think she had help. So that was pretty good. A follower of Jesus. Someone who takes Jesus' invitation to come follow me seriously. Good definition. What is a disciple? A follower of Jesus' example. It's good. Excellent. A disciple is not just any follower, though, this person writes, but a doer. It's the act or trying to live in a way that Jesus lived as a servant, teacher, and leader. Very good. And just a few more. Being sent, stewarding fellow believers, helping them grow, mentoring individuals, seeking to know about Christ, sharing the good news, living a life to know God, and it goes on. So these are all very good. And as you can tell, they focus usually on the first phrase here. But did you know that when we started Village in 2021, even before that, as the core team from Providence formed, we adopted as a church a definition of what a disciple is? And this is important because our mission is to make, grow, and send disciples. Well, what's a disciple? We have this definition already built into our DNA, and it's based on Matthew chapter 4, 19, where Jesus says to his disciples, specifically in this instance, Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This serves as the basis of our definition of disciple. A disciple is one who follows Jesus, a follower of Jesus. That's what Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you," part two then, "a follower of Jesus who is being transformed by Jesus." Jesus is making us, he's turning us into his disciples. He's creating within us the image of himself. We are becoming more Christ-like as we grow in Christ. And thirdly, we are sent on a mission for Jesus. Follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men and women. Fishermen, fisherwomen, people who seek out others who are lost and bring them into the kingdom. This is, by the way, one of the four greats in the gospel. And this is not a suggestion. This isn't a tip for better living. This is a command. Follow me, and I will transform you into people who fish for others, using that image of the fisherman that he met on the Sea of Galilee. And it's one of the four greats, as I mentioned, in the gospel. And I think reviewing these greats is one way, not the only way, but one way to summarize the Gospel of Matthew that we've been working our way through for 70 weeks. There is the great call, and we just talked about it, Matthew 4:19. This is the great call on our lives. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then, of course, there's the great command in Matthew chapter 22. And the great command is to love God, love people. Remember, the person came to him, the scribe, the Pharisee, and said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Our great command for us still holds. Love God, love people. And then, of course, the Great Commission, which we'll look at today in just a few moments. And along with the Great Commission is the Great Comfort, where Jesus says, I will be with you always. He's always with us. Really, like I said, these are not tips for better living. These are not life hacks. You know, oh, if I could just live a better life for Jesus, maybe I should follow him. Maybe I should love other people. Maybe I should tell others about Jesus. Things will work out better for me if I do that. No, that's not the purpose of these. These are commands. We're supposed to obey Jesus in these areas. So if you'll allow me, I will let me hop, skip, and jump our way through some key texts in the Gospel of Matthew. You can remain seated here. I'm just going to lead us on a journey to the Great Commission from near the beginning of the Gospel. Now, there is a call and response later in this journey. We're in the season of resurrection today, by the way. Did you know that today is actually Easter for the Greek Orthodox Church? So we celebrated the Easter last week. In most of the other parts of the world, in the eastern regions especially, Easter is today. And we are in the season of Easter for the next 7 weeks until Pentecost. And just as we did last week, I'm going to say it when we get to the resurrection part of this passage, like Christians do throughout all the world today, Christ is risen, and we'll respond, he is risen indeed. But that's a little bit later, so you'll catch on in a moment. Just a heads up. But let's first start in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus had heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, O Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who live in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. You see, here Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, is preaching about the kingdom that he's instituting. As Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. There's the great call. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Then from Matthew chapter 9, Jesus travels all over Galilee. He teaches in their synagogues, and he's preaching the good news of the kingdom. He's healing every disease and sickness among the people. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. This is a continuation of the great call to go into the harvest fields. I think I mentioned that, and it wasn't anything to brag about, I just learned about this from another pastor, and I thought, this is a great idea. He has his alarm set for 9:38 in the morning every day. And in the when the alarm goes off at 9:38, he is reminded to pray Matthew 9:38, which is, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. And I said, that's a great discipline. I want to do that through the season of Lent. And I was able to, and most days I remembered the alarm went off loud enough, or I was in the same room as my phone, and I want to continue it. And I would just invite you to think about that as well, to think about a daily time where you can pray that the Lord of the harvest send out workers into the harvest. Continuing in Matthew chapter 10, summoning his 12 disciples, Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and heal every disease and sickness. Verse 7, as you go, Jesus says, proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near. There's the theme of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 40, Jesus said, the one who welcomes you as you go welcomes me, and the one who welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. Jesus was sent. Why was he sent? To create the messianic kingdom. Matthew 16:18, he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. A messianic kingdom then is where we live out the key virtue of love. Matthew chapter 22, an expert in the law asked Jesus a key question to test him, a question, teacher, what command is the law is the greatest? And he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. And there it is, the great command. And now in Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6, after Jesus' resurrection at the tomb, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. And with Christians all around the world, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Amen. Come and see the place where he is laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. I guess I could add another great here, couldn't I? This is the great miracle. The greatest miracle. Jesus raised from the dead for our salvation. And then finally, the Great Commission. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the Great Commission. And now here's the great comfort, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Let's look at this greatest miracle for a moment. Chris preached on it last week, Easter Sunday. The angel's instruction to the women at the tomb said, fear not, come and see where he has been laid. The tomb is open. By the way, the tomb wasn't open to let Jesus out. Jesus had already risen. The tomb was open to show that the disciples that there is no body in the tomb. Come and see, then go and tell his disciples to go to Galilee. Why Galilee? Well, in Matthew chapter 4, we just read about it. This is Galilee of the Gentiles. A great light has shone in all the world coming from you, Galilee. This is to fulfill Scripture. Jesus goes back to Galilee to launch this worldwide mission so that the Scripture is fulfilled that out of Galilee comes the light of the world. It's a global mission. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus says, the good news will be proclaimed throughout all the world. And like I said earlier, John 20, Jesus was sent by the Father. Now we are sent on this mission. So the reference here to Galilee is one of the many callbacks in the gospel. And a callback, if you're not familiar with that phrase, is a rhetorical device used in writing, especially maybe in stand-up comedy, although this is not obviously stand-up. But a callback is where you lay the foundation of a principle or comment and then you preach through or teach through something, and you come back and it's like a refrain, like a chorus, where you come back and you repeat it. Well, one of here are a couple of Matthew's callbacks. He's a genius writer. Obviously, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, following the Spirit's inspiration, but Matthew knows what he's doing when he's writing the gospel. He talks about Galilee at the very beginning of the gospel in chapter 4, and now Jesus goes back to Galilee to give the commission to the disciples to be the light of the world. Matthew also mentions mountaintop experiences. Remember, Jesus taught on the mountain, his first sermon on the mount. Then there's, of course, the Mount of Transfiguration. And now Jesus returns to a mountain, maybe not the same one, we don't know, but he returns to the mountain to give the disciples their commission. Another one I didn't mention here is the reference of a temple. Jesus, in the very beginning of the gospel, is dedicated at the temple, and then at the end of the gospel, he is raised again. Remember, he said, if you tear down this temple, in 3 days I will build it again. He's referring to himself. He's raised from the dead. And of course, the authority of Jesus is a callback. We hear from the very beginning of the gospel that Jesus has more authority than Moses. As the crowds all said, oh, this man teaches with authority. And then at the end of the gospel, he says, all authority has been given to me. He says it in the middle too, Matthew chapter 10. Authority is, he's given them authority to go and heal the sick, heal the blind, preach the gospel. And then, of course, I think one of the greatest callbacks, the repetition, the chorus, is the one from Matthew chapter 1, Emmanuel, where this baby is born, God with us, and then Jesus, the last words he says in the Gospel of Matthew, I will be with you for all. So, just an interesting structure to the Gospel of Matthew. The authority of Jesus, then, and the comfort that Jesus provides is a bookend for this great commission that we're looking at today. He starts off with authority, and he ends with his comfort, his promise that he will be with them. So let's look at this. The Great Commission, I know you've heard it so often, it's become it's just part of our DNA. So that's why today I wanted to do something a little different and provide this running ramp into the last section of Scripture to show you that it's tied together from the very beginning of the gospel. And you probably know this, you've probably been taught, that there's really only one verb that is an imperative in this passage. An imperative, hang with me, I was an English language arts teacher for 5 years. An imperative is a command. It's a form that says you must do this. Stop is an imperative. Don't is an imperative. It's a verb that is a command. There's one command in this passage, and it's called make. That's the verb. That's the imperative. Make disciples. The other three verbs are actually present participles. And a present participle is usually one with an ing ending. And it's not clear in the English because we think the first command in this passage is go. It's not a go. It's going in the original. In other words, going about your business, on your way as you go about life, when you go, do this. Make disciples. So go is not the command. Jesus assumes we are going. He assumes we are being in the world, salt and light. He's already told us we're salt and light. So as you go, as you are salt and light into the world, make disciples. That's the command. How do we make disciples? Two more present participles. By baptizing and by teaching. Baptizing and teaching. So those aren't commands per se. They are how we fulfill the command to make disciples. Baptism, of course, is the evangelistic part. We bring people into fellowship with God and the church by baptizing them in the name, not names, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In other words, we are baptizing people into the name of the triune God, into the life of the triune God, into the fellowship of the triune God. See, we are different than the world. We're not a club. We're not saying, hey, come into my club or come into this religion or follow this leader. We are inviting people into the very life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's why we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not names, to evangelize. And then they go together. I mean, usually it happens sort of chronologically, but not always. These go together, teaching them, us, everyone, all that I have commanded, Jesus says. Training. So sometimes training comes first, like with our children and in our village kids. You train them up, you raise them, and then eventually they come to know the Lord and they want to be baptized. But out in the world, typically, you baptize and teach. They go together. So I'm not, you know, it's not necessarily chronological. But one is the evangelism part and one is the discipleship making training part. And this teaching them all that I have commanded you is one of the four alls of this passage. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, all authority. So he already is, because he's God the Son, he has all authority, and now he's transferring it to us, his disciples. Oh, by the way, when he says make disciples of me, that's very unusual in that day and age, because rabbis in that day and age would make disciples of themselves. And then once I became a disciple of Sean, and I learned all that Sean could give me, I go out and open my own franchise, and I make disciples of me. Not Sean, me. And then someone who follows me learns all that I can teach, they go out and make other disciples of them. Jesus tells us, his disciples, not to make disciples of us, but to make disciples of Jesus. He's the authority. We're always pointing people to Jesus. So, all authority has been given to Jesus to make disciples of all nations. That's the second all in this passage. Teaching all I have commanded them. And then fourthly, it's not clear in the English because, but the word here, all, occurs again. The phrase is actually all the days is the original translation. I will be with you all the days until the consummation or the parousia, the coming of Christ when he comes again at the end of the age. So Jesus promises he will be with us. That's that great comfort. I wish Cooper was in here. I got a good dad joke right now. You can tell it to him later. I don't think I spoiled it earlier this week. But there was this pastor and his mission team. They're on the mission field to South America someplace. They're going on a mission team, and they're on the airplane. And one of his deacons, he's sitting beside one of the deacons, and the deacon's holding the Bible, and he's got his eyes closed, and he's a little shaken. He's, you know, and he's starting to pray quietly, and finally he finishes praying. And the pastor looks over into him and says, what's wrong? He said, oh, I'm so nervous. This is my first flight. My first flight. Well, yeah, well, it's okay. I mean, airplanes fly. He goes, yeah, but we are going to be in a tin can at 30,000 feet. And that is scary to me. He says, oh, you know, friend, don't worry about it. Didn't Jesus say, I will be with you always? And the deacon says, no, pastor. He said, lo, I will be with you always. Ba-dum-bum. Little King James version there. I don't know. You probably don't. Anyway. All right. I think Cooper will laugh. He laughs at all my jokes, whether he gets them or not. So the question is, what are we teaching? Jesus says, teach everyone all that I have commanded. What are we teaching? Well, for us, it's the whole counsel of God. It's the whole scripture. This is one reason we team teach through large chunks of scripture, books of the Bible. And we have team teaching because we want different perspectives, different aspects that are brought out. David were preaching today, it would take a totally different way of approaching this passage than I would. And that's okay. Matthew would do the same. And that's fine. The point is, we are committed as Village Church to preach the whole counsel of God. And David already mentioned this, so I don't need to go through it. This is our mission at Village. Our vision and values are sort of wrapped up in the whole counsel of God. We try to do all that we do here, we try to align it with Scripture. Traditions are good. Traditions are wonderful. as long as they are aligned with Scripture or have some kind of biblical foundation or are not anti-Scripture, but point people to Jesus. So, of course, we're not doing everything exactly like Scripture would have us do, because we don't know how the early church worshiped. They didn't have pews, that's for sure. So if we're trying to be biblical, we would get rid of pews and sit around, I don't know what we would sit around in, beanbags maybe. They probably didn't have beanbags back then either. But you see what I'm saying? We're doing things to at least point us to God. And how this really works itself out practically is that we have what's called a gather-to-scatter cycle. A gather-to-scatter cycle in our week, as in the life of our church. We gather together on Sunday, that's what we're doing today, to build each other up, to hear God's word, to pray with one another, to have fellowship with one another, to hear each other, to listen. And we gather as part of our discipleship making. The purpose, of course, is worship, but as we worship God, we're going to be filled by God and grow in God in order to scatter throughout the community during the week. We scatter to be disciples. And I don't think anyone is here. I can sort of say we have a smaller crowd today. I think I can safely say some churches gather on Sunday and then they don't do anything with that the rest of the week. They go about their duty. You know, I go to work. I go about my life. In other words, there's this idea that Christianity or religion is for Sunday, and then my time is Monday through Saturday. And we don't have that mindset here, or at least I hope we don't. And if you do, I challenge you that it's not the biblical model. We gather together in order to scatter throughout our community as believers, as salt and light, in order to invite others, plant seeds, invite others, disciple others, and bring them back to gather the next week or in the future. Does that make sense? We gather to be built up, then to scatter, to share the gospel, invite others to bring them back in so that we can gather together again, be built up, be changed, so that we can scatter into the community to be his people, his hands, his feet. And we want to invite others to join us in this journey. We want others to come and see of the goodness of God. There's a difference between come and see and come and watch. We don't want to be a come and watch church. Like, hey, come with me and watch the performance. We're not into performance. Or, you know, just come and hang out and, you know, watch us wow you. I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, even saying that, it's like, that is such a disconnect with Village Church. But because we don't want to invite people to come and watch, some of us have stopped inviting people to come and see. And I want to challenge us to get back to inviting people to come and see, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't that what I think Andrew said to his friend, Philip, come and see. Or Philip said to Nathaniel, come and see Jesus. He knows everything about me. I mean, this is our call. And isn't that what the angel said to the women? Fear not, come, see, go, tell. By the way, that fear not is the number one command in the Scripture. Fear not, or don't be afraid, or some version of that occurs about 150 times throughout the Bible. Fear not. So as you come and see, you can go and tell with confidence. This is the gathering, scattering cycle of our church. And it's a simple process, really. Disciple making is simply calling non-followers of Jesus to follow Jesus. And then helping followers of Jesus grow into better followers of Jesus while equipping and unleashing followers to become more disciple makers. I'm basically repeating the same thing a few times in a couple of different ways on these slides. If you want more information, we have a lot of these little books in the back, booklets. This one is called How Can I Find Someone to Disciple Me? just some good resources in our library back here. So grab something like that and learn about disciple making, because this is our mission as a church. And we believe, as David mentioned earlier, that the best method of disciple making is through relational discipleship. You can go to a lecture, you can go to seminars, you can be empowered by God's word in a teaching situation, but where it really gets real is in relationship. And there are basically three kinds of relational discipleship relationships. A little repetitious there. There are three kinds of discipleship relationships. And my challenge for us today is, are we trying to get these type of relationships into our life? I hope we could. So pray for a humble, teachable spirit and seek out, first of all, a Paul or a Priscilla. A leader, in other words. A teacher who could serve as a mentor in your life. And I would say, if you're a guy, go with a guy. If you're a girl, a woman, a lady, go with a lady. Because relationships, this kind of discipleship relationship is best in that done in that way. So if you're a guy, seek out a Paul in your life. If you're a lady, seek out a Priscilla, a teacher, a mentor. Secondly, find a Barnabas in your life. Just like Paul had Barnabas, an encourager, sort of a co-equal, a partner, a missionary colleague, you could have a Barnabas in your life, or a Tabitha. Tabitha is mentioned in Acts chapter 9, I believe. She's the one who died, that Peter actually prayed to God to raise her again. She was a wonderful servant in the church, making things and doing things for the church. They all were sad for her. What an encourager she was to the women of the church. And then finally, find a Timothy or a Lydia in your life. A Timothy or a Lydia is someone that you can pour your life into. Just like Paul had a younger relationship, a younger son in the Lord named Timothy, who poured his life into. Lydia was the founder of the first church in Philippi. She responded to the gospel when Paul was preaching. She poured their life into her. Find someone who you can also pour your life into. And of course, there's a deep level of mutuality here. In Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, Paul talks about, I write this so that I can encourage you in the Lord, but not only I, but that we might have a mutual encouragement, that I can find encouragement from you. This is how we fulfill the Great Commission. But it's very intentional, as David said. It takes time to say, all right, I'm going to look for people to be Paul or Priscilla, Barnabas or Tabitha, Timothy or Lydia in my life. So, what now? If you're not a follower of Jesus, give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. For us, it's an invitation. We want to invite people to follow Jesus. But know that it's actually a command. Jesus tells people to follow him. It's such an important command, because if people don't, they're lost, and they will spend an eternity apart from Jesus. So if you've not given your life to the Lord, give your life to Jesus. Secondly, be baptized. If you have not been baptized by immersion and you desire that because you have said, I need to follow Jesus in this manner, be baptized. Talk to one of the elders, talk to some of the leaders here and how we can do that. Thirdly, I want to encourage you to covenant with a local church. Covenant, what does that mean? A covenant is more than just an agreement. A covenant is a deep commitment to say, I'm yours, you're mine, we're in it together. I'm using the marriage analogy here. I may step on toes. I don't mean to be blunt or, I'm glad, no children are here really. The idea is if two people are living together, they're without marriage, they're living in sin. So if you're living with someone and you're not married, you're living in sin. That's not what God desires. You are called to be married, to covenant with one another. Well, in a similar way, if you're attending a church on a regular basis and you have not joined in with that church, if you have not covenanted and had become a member of that church, Why? What's preventing you from doing that? What is the purpose of a church if not to covenant with one another in ministry and in fellowship? So I would encourage you, this is not me being a Pharisee saying you got to do it by next Tuesday, but I want to encourage you as an elder, as a teacher, if you are worshiping with us on a regular basis, come, covenant with one another, be a part of the ministry here, and join with Village or a local church. Next, get discipled. Get discipled. Get in a discipleship group, small group of men or women, separate, or join a small group where people can love on each other. We have one that occurs Tuesday nights. We have one that's coming up. It's going to be on Wednesday nights. And we have another small group that's on Thursday nights. So if you want information on about those small groups, talk to the elders. Or if you want to be in a D group, a smaller group, a discipleship group, I encourage you to be a part of that. Get together with a couple of other guys or a couple of other gals and grow in the Lord. There are lots of ways to picture this process. These are just, you know, I remember Willow Creek, they talked about the 5 G's back in the day. And I looked it up on the internet. They still talk about, you know, how do we grow as disciples? We grow in grace. We become more and more convinced. We preach the gospel to ourselves every day that Christ has saved us by his grace. We grow. We get in a group. We use our gifts, and we give. If you're familiar with Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life, his 5 purposes back in the day. We have 5 purposes in life: to worship God, to fellowship with other believers, to grow in discipleship, to minister and serve, and to reach out in evangelism. And then, of course, the 7 practical practices or disciplines that are traditional in so many churches. There's Bible reading and prayer, fellowship, outreach, service, discipleship, giving. None of these are complete. These are just ways to get your mind thinking. So don't be hung up on, you know, whether one's right or one's wrong. It's just, they're all different ways to look at the same thing for us to grow. But notice some common themes in all of these. I think for us, the issue is service. How can we be available to God to be used by him throughout this church, this ministry, this life in the church? I'm going to ask you to do something a little crazy. I'd like you to fill out a survey right now. David and Sean, would you hand these out for me real quick to everybody? And there's a pen in the pew in front of you. If you would, put your name on it. This is not anonymous. This is something to do now. And if you aren't ready to respond now, that's okay. But I would encourage you to think through this survey as I walk through it. We'll walk through it together, okay? We're gonna walk through it together. We have a few minutes, so you can take it home, but I would rather we pick it up at the end of the service today, if you feel God is calling you to respond in such a manner. Maybe you're here, and you don't know that you are a follower of Jesus. Number one, I want to know more about giving my life to Jesus and following him as Lord and Savior. So if you've never given your life to Jesus and you want more information on how to do that, check the box. Or maybe you would like to be baptized, as I just mentioned earlier. If you have a desire to be baptized, check that one. And then the third one is I would like to become a member of Village Church. In fact, next Sunday, Aaron is going to lead a class after the worship service. So this after today's worship service, we're having a little party there for Christy, right? Yeah, a little baby shower. But after the service next Sunday, we are going to have a short class where Aaron will walk us through what does it mean to be a member or covenant together with Village Church. And if you're already a member, you can still come, because he's going to talk about ways to get involved. If you're not a member, you want to know more about the church, just next Sunday, very informal, talk to Aaron about that. The next 3 questions, I would like to be discipled. or join a discipleship group. If you're interested, if you're not part of a D group or a small group, check that. Ladies, same. We're going to, the elders will talk and we'll get something going for you. Or I'd like to be a small group or Bible study class. Check that. Or, here again, a challenge for some of you who've been sitting on the edge, I would like to train or learn and eventually lead or help facilitate a small group or disciple others. Maybe you've been part of one for your life for a long time, but you've never led a small group. It's easier than you think. Check that box. We'll talk about it. The next section, how can we get involved? What areas of service could you see? Now, these are not exhaustive. There are so many more. Maybe you would like to be a part of a greeting team. We have two greeters right now, Doug and Coy. We love them a lot. Thank you so much. But they're out there every Sunday. Are there others who could help greet and give them a little bit of relief, be in the greeting team? Maybe the tech team could use some help. We have Ben and Billy at this point doing pro presenter. It's the slides. These are my slides, but they do the slides for the songs. Not that hard. Just if you're interested in helping on the tech team or the sound, we'd love that. Maybe we want to be on the social media team. We don't have a social media team, so we'd figure it out. Maybe you want to read scripture. If you want to read scripture, just check that. Yeah, I'd be happy to be in the rotation to read scripture. Or I want to be on the worship team. I'd love to sing or play an instrument. If you play a kazoo, maybe there's a church down the street for you. But no. I mean, I'm just teasing. You can play a kazoo, I suppose. We can, no, okay. Banjo, though, that would be pretty cool. All right. Maybe you want to be in Village Kids, and you just want to help some of the kids. So write down, what age groups? How many times a month are you available? Maybe you love building and maintenance. Check that. Or security and safety. We've got a team going, two people at least from our church, going to a safety seminar this Tuesday. If you're interested in going to that, let me know, let us know, and we will get you registered for that. It's a very important issue in today's society. Maybe you want to be part of the kitchen hospitality crew, join Second Harvest or food truck, serve the Norwood community. By the way, today, you don't have to sign up for that one right now, but if you do have time, we need 400 total some cards sent to our children next door at Norwood Elementary because they're taking tests this coming week. We've got maybe 100 or so, maybe more cards done, so 300 or 400 left. Here are some cards. They don't need an envelope. You don't need to be fancy, but there's a couple here that have, these are the ones Nick already did. Oh, very good. So we've got some, but there are some empty cards out there. Pick up some empty cards. Write an encouraging note. If you need some examples, here they are. Maybe you want to be a prayer team. Well, we don't have a prayer team, but let's figure it out. What would that look like? Do you have a desire to organize people to pray or something else? I didn't put ELL. I missed that. There's an August 1st training to be an ELL instructor through KIN, Knoxville something or other. Anyway, they do the training. It's $50, and maybe you have a heart to serve people and teach an English class. Well, the training is coming up August 1st. Or here's one that I've been praying about already, because it's in one of our values, but we haven't thought about it a lot. We were launched 5 years ago. Would you pray about being part of a launch team to start a new church in Knoxville? And you might think, Lyndon, there's 30 of us here. It would take a miracle. Yes, absolutely. Wouldn't it be amazing if we started praying that God would so bring growth among us, such an explosive kind of growth, where we start inviting people to come and see, not come and watch, come and see so that we can go and tell, and that growth could only happen because God did it. Where we would have to look and say, oh my goodness, it is only of God. There is no way we could have manufactured this on our own. And then in such a way, because there's so much growth, we would have to rely completely on our knees every day. Help us lead this growth, God. Help us lead this growth. We can't do it on ourselves. What would it mean for our children's ministry to double in size in the next 3 months? Oh my, some of you go, don't pray that. Well, maybe we should, and we just rely on God to figure it out. Could we be the impetus? Could we be the launch of a new church here in the Knoxville area? If you're interested in that and want to pray with me on that, check that box. Maybe on the last section, I would just like more training and support in the following areas. I want to grow in personal evangelism. I want to grow in prayer. I want help with my budget and personal finance. I need help reading the Bible. I need help improving my marriage and my family life. Julie and I just got back from a marriage retreat a few weeks ago. It was wonderful. It's like, you know, when you change your oil, you don't want to change the oil when the engine locks up. It's a little too late at that point to change the oil. So when do you change the oil? They want you to do it 3,000 miles because they were going to sell oil. But, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 miles, whatever it is, it's a regular checkup. I would encourage you to get on a regular checkup with your husband, with your wife, on these marriage retreats so that you can improve your marriage. But if you need help with that, talk to one of the elders. Maybe you'd like assistance in starting a new ministry. And then I just gave some ideas. This is not a complete list. But we can brainstorm together. Here's some ideas. Maybe you want to start a workplace Bible study at your work. They do allow it. Most places. Could be on your own time, could be before or after work. Maybe you want to start a backyard Bible study, like a VBS for kids during this summer. Maybe start a neighborhood movie night, you know, where you invite a few neighbors and watch a good movie that has a good values, good themes, and talk about it. And just go, wow, what do you see? It may be a secular movie, but it might have Christian themes in it. And you could just sort of guide a discussion about, you know, what do you think about that movie? You know, what did it teach? Maybe you want to host a house concert or host an international student or, again, learn to teach English to English language learners or teach a different class, crafts, cooking, underwater basket weaving. It doesn't matter. Whatever's your heart, we could help you do that. And then if you have any comments or questions, put that there. So I know I took time on this, but I think it's worth it. And then I will have these available for people who weren't here to take. Again, if you need to take it home and pray about it, that's good. If you're not ready to respond, that's fine. But if you do have some thoughts, just give them to me or put them up here on the front pew when you're done. Yeah, that's good. Just put them up in the front pew when you're done, and we'll look at these, we'll pray, and see where we can help you. At the very, very least, get on our village's free weekly newsletter. How many are getting the newsletter? That has so much information. So each week, try to put our dates in there, upcoming events, encouragements. So get on the weekly newsletter. And then remember, we are sent under the kingly authority of Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, prophesied in the Old Testament, coming into the world during his life to proclaim the kingdom of God, and now sending us out under his authority to share the good news of the kingdom with a world that needs it. Shall we pray? God, I pray that you would just inspire us, prompt us in so many different ways to be your people scattered throughout the city during the week, and to gather again on Sundays to worship you and to be built up. Just help this be a part of our regular cycle of our life, where there's joy in our fellowship, where there's purpose and ministry. And I pray that it's all done for your glory, that it would not be for our benefit necessarily, not for our glory for sure, but to build up your church so that we can point more and more people to Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.